It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, D-Bro, and with me, as always, to discuss a player that a lot of people have as their number one wide receiver going into the NFL draft in Ja'Marr Chase is my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. Adam, what's going on, man? You excited to dive into Chase and all these games?
Yeah, it's going to be... I was really enjoying watching some of the games from 2019 from Ja'Marr Chase. I'm excited to talk about them.
Yeah, dude, and that's one of the things, I mean, before diving into his full production profile, Ja'Marr Chase opted out of 2020, so really, you look at 2018, there's not a ton of stuff on paper there. Now, 2019, a lot of people are going to talk about, and the same thing with Joe Burrow, and we heard about Justin Jefferson, and all these parts and pieces of that historic LSU offense, and was Chase a product of the offense? Is he really that good? Is he just something that was drum up by the coordinator and Brady? Like, really, how good is Ja'Marr Chase? Is he as good as everybody says? And if you look at his profile on the outside, Adam, I mean, there's a lot of things to like on it. Ja'Marr Chase stands at 6 foot tall, 208. Now, we'll see what he comes in weighing at his pro day. Going to be 21 years old entering the NFL. He was a four-star recruit by ESPN and Rivals. The guy has got just athletic talent. And I know that if you go back and you look at, like, okay, yes, like in high school, did the man run a 4.66 40? At least that's what I've seen reported. Yes, but also gives the context to one of his teammates. I take that with a grain of salt, man. I mean, we saw Justin Jefferson. There were reports and stuff of him running a 4.8. in high school. So let's not call this man slow based off of what he did a few years ago. He also was a state champion in long jump in high school as a junior. I mean, Adam, off the top here, anything just jumping out at you that you feel like we got a hammer on for Ja'Marr Chase before we jump into his strengths and the rest of his production?
Yeah, I mean, I saw that he 4.6 or whatever, 40 from high school, but then I also saw more recently he was closer to 4.4. So I mean, high school was so long ago. I mean, and like one 40 time doesn't tell the story. It could have been a bad day for him. He might have got off, you know, slow off the line. He might have been slipped. Like, we don't know. We didn't watch it. So I don't really care about the high school 40 times. Is Ja'Marr Chase, you know, Tyreek Hill, you know, Henry Ruggs? No, but he's by no means is he slow. And yeah, we'll talk about what he did as a 19-year-old at LSU, but like you talked about, a lot of people saying, yeah, well, Joe Burrow was playing at an elite level and throwing perfect passes every game, and Justin Jefferson was taking attention away, and Brady dialed up this perfect LSU offense. And to that I say, just watch some of the games, and we'll talk about two of the games in particular that I watched, and that'll really tell you all you need to know about Ja'Marr Chase, on top of what he did, you know, games like against Vanderbilt and some of the other games he had, but... he's a superstar. I think the two concerns that people have, not for his strengths and weaknesses, but just his production, are, okay, yeah, he did that in the LSU offense, which I don't care, because the reason that offense is so good is because Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson are so good. And two, we'll talk about it, but that he opted out in 2020. We haven't seen him. Are people going to be worried about rust? I think those are the two somewhat concerns people have for Ja'Marr Chase in terms of production from the last couple years.
Dude, as a wide receiver entering the NFL, I mean, here's the thing. I love his skill set and what he brings to the table as a guy that he operated as a primary outside wide receiver, even going back to 2018. He played 5% in the slot in 2018, 2019, 13%, and 95% on the outside in 2018, and then 85% in 2019. So you're looking at a guy that all of his production pretty much came via playing outside. Now, that's not to say that, like, I think that his fit going into the NFL, oh my God, if he gets to a place where he's going to play 30% inside and he's going to face, he is going to destroy some nickel corners.
I would love to see him used how Adam Thielen's used in Minnesota. Like, he's not a primarily a slot guy, and he's not primarily a perimeter guy. He's like 60-40.
I would love to see him used like they use the wide receivers in San Francisco or KC or hell, even Davante Adams, where they go all over the formation about 30-35% of the time everywhere. Because I think he could crush there. Like, his limited amount of slot time in 2019, Adam, 27 targets. He caught 85% of them. He was 8th in yards per route run, immediately ahead of a stud that went out last year in CeeDee Lamb. If that doesn't jump off the page for you, hell, I don't know what will, man.
Especially because CeeDee Lamb was one of my favorite wide receiver prospects since I started doing fantasy content. So, yeah, like,
seated at all different levels of the field, too, man. Like, 14 of his 20 receiving touchdowns in 2019 came via the deep ball, 20-plus yards down the field, and he was just electric there. Recorded his highest pass rating at 137. I mean, look, but he wasn't a slouch whenever he was in the short intermediate areas either. 3 touchdowns and 1-9 yards and 10 to 19 yards. Passer ratings of 126 and 109. I mean, the guy can win at multiple levels of the field. And for the things that I've heard out there, okay, how fast is he? The man got off the line, and you're looking at all of this production deep on go routes, on posts. That doesn't happen because you're slow as hell. His ability in contested catches and strong hands and the ability to go up and win jump balls is real. Now, with his height, is that going to be something that we see as often in the NFL? Probably not. But that's not to say that the man can't do it and he can't win deep. And so the other thing that I've heard as one of the big knocks on him is, and I want to talk about this because we're in strengths right now. I am not worried about his release. His footwork is good enough to get off the line. He uses a combination of whether it's footwork or his upper body strength to get off of the line versus cornerbacks. And, dude, what he did versus highly touted cornerbacks, like, you look at 2019, he faced 3 guys that were drafted inside the top 2 rounds. Now, what you want to say about them since they got to the NFL, that's fine. They were all rookies, so I think that you need to take all of that with a grain of salt.
Especially last year, like with the COVID stuff. It's hard enough to play corner as a rookie in the NFL, but especially last year when you had very limited practice reps, not really a full training camp, no preseason. Like I always go back to Jeff Okuda. No training camp, really, and he starts the season against DeAndre Hopkins and Davante Adams. Like, what the hell is he supposed to do?
Well, you don't see these rookie corners, like, if they're going to succeed, usually you see them kind of take a step down the stretch. Like, he totally manhandled. Like, when he played against C.J. Henderson in Florida, when he played against A.J. Terrell in Clemson, and Trevion Diggs could not hold a can.
And some of those in that Alabama game, he saw some Patrick Surtain, who's going to be a top 12 pick at in April's draft. So, yeah, we'll talk about it. But real quick, before we get to his strengths on the field, just in case anybody is not very familiar with Ja'Marr Chase, as a 19-year-old in 2019, 84 catches, 1,780 yards, 20 touchdowns. It's with Justin Jefferson, man. Like, he was really the alpha on that team. I know Jefferson was elite, but like from just a pure X receiver, like Ja'Marr Chase was unbelievable.
He was fantastic, man. And you're talking about it. I mean, like, look, the guy had 21 yards per reception. He had a college target share of 19.6. Now, did Jefferson have a higher target share? Sure. But also Jefferson was operating out of the slot and easier completions for Joe Burrow. I mean, look, Ja'Marr Chase operated at all different levels of the field, man. I mean, I just – kick this off, dude. What do you think – like, when you turned on the film and looking at all of his numbers, were his biggest strengths to you?
For me, like, he is so he's just, like, all around strong, right? Off the line, you mentioned his release might need some work with his footwork. But for me, like, the first thing I watch, especially in that Alabama game and the Auburn game where they pressed him a ton. Like, he was pressed, he faced press coverage among the most, one of the highest rates among all receivers in 2019. And according to PFF, I believe he was like had the one of the top PFF ratings against press coverage. Like he dominated press. AJ Terrell pressed him. Didn't matter. The Auburn game, he got pressed. It didn't matter. Like he was so good against press coverage. Really physical off the line. With that upper body strength, like you mentioned, like that is really impressive to me. And then when the ball's in the air, he's also super strong. He has incredibly strong hands. He can make tough catches in tight windows. Goes up and high points the ball well. And yeah, is he a 6'4 type receiver like a Kenny Golladay? No, but he kind of plays like Kenny Golladay. Kind of reminds me of him, even though he's 4 inches smaller right now. I just think those two traits are really impressive, and they kind of jump off the page right away when you watch Ja'Marr Chase on film. Like I said, for anybody that hasn't, I recommend you go watch at least the Alabama and the Auburn games from 2019 and just watch how often they pressed him and watch how often he beat those corners off the line and got open. And the other thing I'll say is even when he's covered, he's strong enough and smart enough and good enough of a route runner to get open as, especially on like third and shorts when Joe Burrow was extending the play, getting out of the pocket and waiting for somebody to get open, you would see Ja'Marr Chase break open to the sideline and pick up a 3rd and 7 or 3rd and 5. So I think he has really good spatial awareness. The physicality and the strength is probably my favorite trait from him, and that's only a couple of them. I'm sure he'll talk about more, but that's what stood out to me the most with Ja'Marr Chase. Really strong hands, goes up and high points to the football, and is really, really physical against press coverage.
Yeah, I love that. Every single bit of it, Adam, because I saw a lot of the same things. I mean, the man is strong. His ability to beat press off the line. Auburn ran that a ton against him.
Yeah. And those two games, Auburn and Alabama, some of my favorite games I've watched of film of these prospects since I started watching some games. Like Ja'Marr Chase against those two teams is some of my favorite film so far, again, among any player.
It was fantastic, man. And the Florida game is one that I want to highlight a little bit here because he played a lot against C.J. Henderson in coverage. They actually moved him inside. Like, he played 21% out of the slot, which was one of his highest rates out of the entire season in that game. Now, C.J. Henderson followed him into the slot, but you saw a guy that, like, when I watched him on film, and for anybody that wants to talk about his speed again, his ability to get open on short and intermediate routes, I think, speaks to that, because if he was one, slow, or two, didn't have a good release, would he be as effective in the short and intermediate areas of the field versus does the man have more build-up speed, more long speed than he does short area quickness and speed in that term? Then no, like, he wouldn't be able to do those things. But, like, one of the ways that, like, I saw him get off the line and be able to beat up, like, corners over the middle, not only with his strength, his upper body strength, but his footwork and his agility, that doesn't, like, I have no concerns about his speed. As well as you're talking about the Alabama game, like, going up against Diggs, he pulled away from him on multiple routes. And Diggs is a guy who had a rumored 40, now I know he didn't run at the combine, but he had a rumored 40 of 4.4, 4.5. Like, I think Chase will run at least a 4.5. I will not be surprised because he has been in the gym. We have seen clips in the offseason of him working and doing a lot of stuff. I will not be surprised if the man actually runs a 4.4 at all. So
I think he will. I think it'll be like the mid-4.4s.
I have zero concerns about his speed. And the other thing about this, like, if we want to talk about his release, I think his release and those attributes are good enough. I think that here's the thing. You look at his skill set right now. That should give you a ton of love for Ja'Marr Chase in the fact of if he doesn't improve, and we're talking about him going to the NFL, NFL coaching, and him learning more things and becoming a better, more nuanced wide receiver than he already is. That should, like, what his floor is right now? Oh my God, like if what he has right now is his floor, and we're talking about he still has things that he can hone in his game, Adam. His ceiling is through the damn roof, because if that is his floor right now, and there are areas that we think that he can improve on with his release, with variations off the line, even with his route running in some aspects, because I did see some of his routes that could be a little bit crisp, or more crisp, should I say, if this is the floor for Ja'Marr Chase when he is entering the NFL, what the hell is the ceiling? Like, I think his ceiling is sky high. Adam, your thoughts there?
Yeah, especially because, like, he played primarily outside at LSU, but that doesn't mean he can't play in the slot. They had Justin Jefferson. Like, you're not going to play Ja'Marr Chase primarily in the slot when you have Jefferson. And then obviously he opted out in 2020. But for me, like, I would much rather have a player be an outside player who can play inside, but dominated as a perimeter receiver, especially against press coverage, than have somebody who played in the slot and you have to worry about him if he can play outside. Like, there were some people who didn't know if Justin Jefferson can play outside. Obviously he can, but like, for me, I have no concerns about Ja'Marr Chase playing on the outside at the NFL level. And if he can play on the outside, he can definitely play on the inside. We know the slot is where you get better individual matchups. You don't get pressed off the line. So, like, if he's winning matchups one-on-one when he's getting pressed off the line, then what's he going to do when he's not getting pressed off the line? So, I think he has the potential to be selected as soon as, like, fifth or sixth in this draft. He'll be a top 10 pick, and barring any sort of, you know, craziness, like, he seems to me, there are a couple, like, can't-miss prospects that we'll talk about on offense. I think two of them we've talked about this, or two of them we're going to talk about this week, maybe even three. I think Ja'Marr Chase is honestly one of them. He's very good.
He crushed, man. And I think the floor is incredibly high. Like, every mock draft that you see out there that has him going inside the top five, the top 10, like, I don't see a way that he falls, and we'll get to landing spots.
Yeah, he won't make it past 10. He won't make it out of the top.
No way in hell. He is not getting outside of the top 10, and it is for damn good reason. And before we move over to some weaknesses or areas that we think he can improve in, I want to touch on his schedule, because people want to talk about LSU and stuff like that. They had a lot of really good pass defenses they faced. So you look at Florida, and this is in what these defenses out of 132 collegiate teams, what they allowed in yards per attempt and passer rating allowed, their rankings. Florida was 35th and 32nd. Auburn was 16th and 33rd. Texas A&M, 27th and 33rd. Georgia, 1st and 3rd. Clemson, 3rd and 2nd. And Ja'Marr Chase rattled off against those six teams. 7 for 127, two tutties. 8 for 123, 6 for 140, 7 for 197. The Georgia game was his only down game. He had 41 and a touchdown, and he destroyed Clemson for 221 and two touchdowns. So, again, if people want to talk about schedule, and we're trying to give context to the teams and the strength of the teams that he played, Chase balled out. Like, every single team that was a difficult spot on the schedule for him, he was just like, all right, come on, baby. You better come stronger, because I'm bringing it. I'm bringing it every single snap. So moving this over, because we just spit in the love letter on Ja'Marr Chase. Adam, what do you think are some areas of his game that he can improve on?
I think, like, he could be a more consistent route runner. Like, I think we'll talk about some player comps then, but I think he could be a little bit better as a route runner. You mentioned the height. Like, he's 6 foot, 6'1". Like, it's not really his fault. I mean, but, you know, we'll see how that translates to the NFL level if he's making those contested catches, but I don't think it's going to be a problem really. And I think it's not really a weakness. It's just a question mark is we didn't see him in 2020. I don't really think it's a problem, especially if he's 19 years old, winning these tough one-on-one matchups in the SEC against these really good cornerbacks. If he's doing that at 19, I don't really worry about him in his, at the NFL level. It's not like he's been just sitting at home playing video games over the past year or so. He's been working. So for me, like, those are really the only weaknesses. Like, I didn't really come away from watching Ja'Marr Chase with this list of things he needs to improve on. I think he could be a little bit better route runner. Maybe his footwork improves, but I also saw some games where, like, he's not Davante Adams, but he had that kind of, like, Davante Adams kind of crossover on some of his releases, and you add that to his physicality with his upper body strength off the line, and that could be really dangerous. So just some little things like that, but really just not much weakness-wise for Ja'Marr Chase, and I hate saying that because I feel like no player is perfect, but I really, especially when you consider the factor in the competition he faced and at the age he was, like, I just came away 90% impressed.
Agreed. I mean, I want to sit here and poke a ton of holes in his game, but dude, there's just not a ton that I'm able to actually do. I mean, it's just the fact of it is I think that yes, could some of his short area routes, especially like his slants and stuff, could they be a little more crisp? Yes, that's definitively true. I think that the two things that I think are going to determine is he a really, really good NFL wide receiver versus an elite wide receiver are going to be, does he shore up a little bit of that route running, especially in the short and intermediate areas? Because I think there is a little bit of improvement to be had there. His ability to separate on the outside and separate deep, especially on go routes and posts and stuff, I don't really have a lot of knocks there. As well as, I think just more nuance to his releases, like different variations, different ways he can get off the line, and some of that I think is going to come with more experience, like I'm talking about with NFL coaching. Those are the areas that I think are going to determine what his ceiling as an NFL player are, and this kind of leads us into, when you watched him and you look at his skill set, Adam, what do you look at it as far as, like, at least a close or as close as you possibly get as far as a comparable for him, like floor and ceiling for Ja'Marr Chase?
There's, like, a lot of bits and pieces to this, right? I think in ways he reminds me of Calvin Ridley, but Calvin Ridley is way more, like, sudden out of his routes and his breaks coming out of college, and obviously now he's awesome in that regard. Also, a little bit of Amari Cooper, but, like, for me, and this may be weird to hear, he reminds me, if you kind of, like, mixed the measurables and metrics and sizes and speeds of Kenny Galladay and Marvin Jones. Like, Marvin Jones, a little bit faster than Galladay. Galladay's obviously 6'4", 218, so Chase isn't as big. But, like, the ball skills are very similar between those two receivers. I think Chase is, like, a more explosive player than Marvin Jones. Like, I could kind of see, like, his floor being, like, a Marvin Jones-type player with a little bit more upside than that, and his ceiling being, like you said, like, one of the 5 to 7 best receivers in the NFL. Like, am I weird for that comp? Because that's kind of what I...
We need to stop the podcast for a second here. just for a second. And discuss the fact that you just comped this man to your number one love list, got a tattoo of his face on your stomach, player of all time. I think that... And you know, it's not crazy? I actually saw some Marvin Jones to his game, too.
Like, okay, good.
Don't
you see him kind of like, if you kind of put Galladay and Marvin Jones together, like, I understand Galladay has size over both of them, but, like, the ball skills, the hands in traffic,
his ability to get deep and to win contested catch situations deep.
Body control in the air. Like, I don't think he's as good as Galladay coming. Like, he's a better prospect than Galladay was coming out, obviously. But, like, entering the league, I don't think he's as good as a deep threat as Kenny Galladay is. But, like, that's the kind – I kind of get that from him. Like, if you combine Marvin Jones and Galladay – because, like, I want to compare him to Calvin Ridley a little bit in terms of, like, the size. They're both, like, 6'1", 205, 208. But Calvin Ridley is a much better route runner. Like, decent – by a decent margin.
I saw the Marvin Jones comparison in terms of his ability, especially in the deep areas of the field. So the two guys that stood out to me, and one of this kind of goes back to his strengths, I think, and really Ja'Marr Chase is hard to kind of peg into, really just, I mean, it's really kind of hard to come up with his skill set a perfect comp or one you're just like, oh yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
The two guys that kind of like, and I went back and watched college film on both of them, coming out, his strength at the catch point and his strength after the catch, because we didn't even talk about that enough, I don't think.
Yeah, he breaks tackles after he catches the ball.
Dude, after he gets the ball in his hands, the dude is a beast. Like, he will stiff arm dudes, he will get yards after the catch. He's extremely strong. His ability after the catch reminded me a ton of Justin Blackmon coming out. I think that you marry that with his ability in short and intermediate areas, his ability as also a deep threat. I look at him as a more physical version of Allen Robinson. That's who I saw when I watched the film. Now, these are all what I think he is going right now into the NFL. And I don't want to sound like I'm being hyperbolic, but I think that the sky is the limit for Ja'Marr Chase, and if he hones these other areas of his game at him, I know people are going to hate this and roll their damn eyes when I say this. I think his ceiling is Davante Adams. I think that his ceiling is definitively like this dude is a top three wide receiver in the NFL. If he hits his ceiling, now I'm not projecting that is definitively what is going to happen for him at the NFL level. I think at the NFL level, he's going to walk in off the street and be a 950, 1,000-yard guy, can catch you 7 touchdowns in those areas. But I think his absolute ceiling is as an elite alpha wide receiver, a top three wide receiver. I think that he could be a Davante Adams-esque type player. But am I crazy for that?
I don't know if you're crazy. Like, it's so hard to say that now because Davante Adams, like, every week just makes it look so easy. But, like, Ja'Marr Chase, like, we talk about it. Like, there's everything you want out of a player and a prospect he has. You know, a young breakout age against elite competition, like, one against tough coverage and press like, I think his ceiling is, like I said, a top 5 to 7 receiver in the league. I don't know about top 3, but I'm not too far off with that top 5 to 7. He's awesome. I'm really, really excited to see where he lands. And I'm assuming if it's anywhere in that 5 to 7 range in the NFL draft, he'll be drafted on a team where he can get immediate, you know, significant targets.
Absolutely, man. So let's jump into that. Where do you see him possibly landing? Because I've seen a lot of mock drafts have him going to Miami at 3. Possibly Philly at 6. I think we're both probably going to be on both of those teams.
Yeah.
Although I will say, I get the Miami landing spot. My whole thing with, and I think it's possible, I'm not going to say that it's not, Devontae Parker being 29 when he gets to 2022, and then he's 30 years old when 2023 rolls around, their ability to cut him, I think gives credence to that. I don't know how well Ja'Marr Chase like is going to fit with Tua because we talked about Tua.
I don't know if he fits with Parker and Preston Williams either.
I think that they could trade back and take Devontae Smith.
Right.
I'm not going to rule out that he does land with Miami.
No. I think Ja'Marr Chase is better than Devontae Smith, but I think Devontae Smith could fit more. Obviously, you have the Tua narrative, but I think Parker and Preston Williams, they're in similar molds to Ja'Marr Chase. They're physical, contested catch guys who don't necessarily separate at an elite level. Like, I think Tua needs just a guy that's going to get open, like, at all times. I think that's more Devontae Smith.
I'm, like, adamantly shaking my head yes to everything you're saying right now, because I think it's not because Ja'Marr Chase does not deserve to be a top three pick.
Yeah.
I think that you're looking at skill set. I think Miami could trade down. And one of these quarterback hungry teams goes
out. I think that would be an awesome move for them. They can get trade down, like, I don't know, Detroit wants to trade up or something if they want to get a quarterback, which I don't know if they will, but like, yeah, like there's, I've seen mocks where Devontae Smith falls to like 15, you know?
Yeah, I have to. And if that's the case, I mean, I think that Devontae Smith could absolutely be a great fit for Miami. But here's the thing. I do not think that he gets past Philly at 6. They need a true X wide receiver. People are going to come at me about all my Jalen Reagor love. I think that Jalen Reagor can play outside. I'm not off of that. Do I think that he's probably going to profile as a true, true X wide receiver at the next level versus a Ja'Marr Chase? No, Ja'Marr Chase is lock set forget a true X over Jalen Reagor.
Dude, unless you're like the Vikings or the Buccaneers or the Bills or one of these teams that's pretty much set at receiver, you're inquiring about Ja'Marr Chase. I don't really care. Like, even Green Bay, like, if Green Bay was picking the spot, you'd probably take Ja'Marr Chase. You know, like, he's that good to where, like, okay, Jalen Reagor, you drafted last year in the first round. He's your number one receiver. Okay, you still take Ja'Marr Chase. So I agree. I think I would be shocked if he's not on the Eagles or Lions. I really would, because if he's there for the Eagles, I think there is some consideration for them to take Jalen Waddle, but I just think Ja'Marr Chase is a little bit more of a complete player. Detroit's interesting, because if Kenny Golladay doesn't re-sign, it sounds like Marvin Jones won't be back. He wants to apparently go play with the Rams, which means I'll be ordering a Rams jersey shortly. I think if they don't re-sign Kenny Galladay, I don't know how you don't take Ja'Marr Chase if he's there at seven. They'll take a receiver with that pick, whether it's Waddle or Chase. But that would be fun, right? I kind of compared them to Galladay and Marvin Jones, and then they are both gone, and all of a sudden Ja'Marr Chase is there. And, man, Detroit's probably going to be a bad team playing from behind. All of a sudden you have an incredibly young nucleus on offense of DeAndre Swift, T.J. Hockenson, Ja'Marr Chase. And Ja'Marr Chase would probably walk into 115, 120 targets. That'd be very fun. And yeah, the Eagles at six. I think he would, you know, Alshon's done. Zach Ertz might get traded soon. They don't have that just alpha receiver. That would be fun, obviously. Like, I don't know if there's a team that he gets drafted to in this draft where I'm like, okay, I don't really want Ja'Marr Chase in fantasy, because I think he gets a lot of targets in Detroit, assuming Galladay's gone. I think he gets plenty in Philadelphia.
Your thoughts on Philly? So say, like, Wentz is being rumored that he could be dealt. If Jalen Hurts is the quarterback, and you know all my Jalen Hurts loves, so don't let that sway you. If Jalen Hurts is the quarterback, any concerns about Chase landing there?
No.
I don't have any, but...
No.
I don't think that he falls past the Eagles at six, but I think that if for some reason Philly trades back, something
or
weird
takes
happens,
Waddle or something.
Yeah, something crazy happens. His absolute floor, I think, is at 11 to the Giants. I do not think that there is a way that he falls past 11.
0% chance.
Yes, the Giants need an outside X wide receiver. Yes, I still love Darius Slayton, but Slayton doesn't hold a candle to Ja'Marr Chase, man. It's just a fact.
I think
I think that it is definitively his floor.
I would be, barring a trade up from another team or something, like we've seen some teams trade up for receivers in the past, I would be pretty surprised if Ja'Marr Chase, whenever the draft is, isn't holding a jersey that is Miami, Philadelphia, Detroit, or the Giants. I'd be very surprised. But, I mean, if there was a team to trade up, who do you think could make that move, like to trade up for Ja'Marr Chase?
Whew. That's a really good question. Looking at some of the teams, so some of the teams that could make a move to trade up for Ja'Marr Chase, I mean, as crazy as it sounds, Adam, if they don't make a move to get a Deshaun Watson or another quarterback, Chicago, possibly. Although, again, we're talking about, is it in the range of outcomes? I think the Bears make some sense.
Maybe the Raiders after. I don't know if the Raiders would, but they're apparently interested in signing Juju.
Yeah, I don't see the Raiders doing it, not after them taking Ruggs. I think they're probably giving him another year or so. I mean, really, that's...
The easy answer is to say, like, the Packers, but I don't know if they would have enough to get up there.
The Packers doing it.
Yeah, like I said, would be very... Maybe Washington, but I think they're kind of fine where they're at.
I got one for you. He falls into the teens, and this is not characteristic of this organization, but we're talking about random scenarios here. Could you see the Ravens trying to trade up for him and get an X receiver inside that offense?
Yes and no. I just feel like...
That's kind of where I'm at, too.
I just feel like the Ravens are just kind of set on running the ball 30 times a game, hopefully improving on the offensive line, and going from there. So
I think it's more likely the Ravens would sign a veteran.
We both pretty much agree that Ja'Marr Chase will be either on one of the two teams in the NFC East or the Lions. Like, I think Miami would go Devonta Smith or offensive line over Ja'Marr Chase. Well, whether it's the right choice or not is up in the air. But the Eagles seem like, I mean, the Lions are probably going to be very upset if they're sitting at seven and the Eagles are at six and Chase is on the board.
Yeah, I think that the Eagles, for as much crap as they got last year for taking Rager over Jefferson, I think they remedy some of this, and I think that they take their LSU wide receiver this year. I don't think that he falls past the Eagles, to be honest with you. But, again, we're talking about different scenarios. I think that the Giants are the dark horse candidate here, as well as the Lions. But I think the most likely spot for him is with Philly.
Yeah, I just – I think literally the Giants or Eagles are going to have, like, they're both going to have these receivers of Chase and Waddle. Like, it's just going to be one or the other. I think that's where those receivers are going to go.
Yeah, I don't disagree, man. All right, everyone, that is our prospect profile for Ja'Marr Chase. We're going to be back to talk Kyle Pitts with Josh Kelce. Again, dropping all of these prospect profiles in the days to weeks coming leading up to the NFL draft. So get subscribed, as well as, dude, it's giveaway time. We haven't done this in a minute. But with the NFL draft and the NFL offseason now staring us in the face, we decided we have got to do this for the listeners, especially everybody that has been rocking with us all year. Follow us at Chalk Fade. Two easy steps to get entered to win a signed Calvin Ridley jersey. One, head over to iTunes, give us a rate and review, screenshot said review. And the second step is slide in the DMs on Twitter of the podcast at Chalk Fade. Send us that screenshot. You are entered to win. When we hit 200 reviews, we are giving this thing away. It is gone. It is out the door. We are at 120 reviews. Like, my phone is blowing up right now. I just put this out this morning. We've already gotten 10 reviews since we've been on air. You got to get entered to win this thing. It is fantastic. It is beautiful. Head over to Twitter. Look at the pictures of this thing. Fantastic jersey for Calvin Ridley. We're going to be back talking more prospect profiles leading up to the NFL draft. For Fade the Chalk, we're out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at Chalk Fade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.